Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about some new comments from Elon Musk on AI Day as we await the event tomorrow. We've also got updates on the Cybertruck, a little bit on the car market in general, a new report on brand loyalty, and a couple other items as well. Not a good day in the markets today. Tesla down 6.8% to close at $268.21. The NASDAQ down 2.8%. Really getting close to those June lows again. Not sure there's anything really new here today, just a continuation of concern over all the issues that we've been talking about now for, I would say, the majority of the year. Tomorrow we'll move on to another data point with the August personal consumption expenditures, and then we'll get CPI and PPI for September in a couple of weeks. On a more exciting note, we are now one day away from AI Day 2022. I suppose that makes tonight AI Eve. Elon has been tweeting about this a little bit, helping inform expectations, which I think are important, so let's talk about those tweets and expectations. First off, Elon saying, note, this event is meant for recruiting AI and robotics engineers, so will be highly technical, and then he added on to that and said, as well as advanced chip and supercomputer engineers for next-gen training and inference. Please take heed of Elon's note here. It's very much like going into a shareholder meeting. You have to level set your expectations around what that meeting is intended to be. We could rewind and go through some of the rumors that popped up around the shareholders meeting, and it ended up being what you could expect, Tesla walking through their business and not really a whole lot else. And that's great as long as you go in expecting it to be that and not something else. On a little bit more of the hyped up end of the spectrum, Elon did also note that there will be a lot of technical detail and cool hardware demos. Obviously, with the TeslaBot hands being on the invite, hopefully that means we're seeing a demonstration of the TeslaBot. So I think that's probably the biggest unknown as we head into the event, where Tesla is at on that TeslaBot progress. Now, in terms of expectations and reactions, Stephen Mark Ryan had a tweet that Elon replied to, basically saying that the media and the mass is not really going to understand AI Day, AI and robotics experts going to be a little bit excited, Tesla retail investors is going to be the most excited. What else is new? That's usually how these events go. And Elon said pretty much AI and robotics engineers who understand what problems need to be solved will like what they see. So Elon saying it there, reiterating it there, that this is going to be a very technical presentation. Most people might not really understand the implications, which again, what else is new? They don't even really understand Battery Day, which is a much simpler thing than the types of things and concepts that are going to be discussed at AI Day. In terms of my expectations, I did just have a conversation about this on the Neuropod channel. I'll put a link to that in the description. Talked AI Day and Neuralink and a few other topics as well, but in general, I'm just going into it expecting it to be almost identical to last year, walking through autonomy and the progress that Tesla is making there from a technical level, walking through Dojo. Last year, they really unveiled the hardware. I think this year, they're going to unveil the progress that they've been making with that hardware in terms of what it's being used for and handling today and where that moves to next. Also on the hardware side, maybe we get an update on hardware 4, FSD hardware 4. We're definitely getting into that time frame that Elon mentioned at last year's AI Day when Tesla would start shipping hardware 4. Now, the Cybertruck has been delayed. It was supposed to be accompanied with that. Maybe that remains coupled and hardware 4 gets a little bit delayed, or maybe it gets uncoupled and we get it now. And then I think the rest of the presentation really going to be focused on TeslaBot. Elon said earlier this year that TeslaBot is Tesla's most important product or biggest focus or something like that. Can't remember the exact wording, but I'm expecting much more time this year spent on TeslaBot than last year. And hopefully those cool demonstrations that Elon refers to involve the TeslaBot, which is what I expect based on the invitation, based on some other things Tesla has said. But I'm keeping my expectations there low. I'm not expecting like a Boston Dynamics type of robotic situation. I kind of want to see how Tesla can combine robotics with their leadership in perception, which is really their biggest differentiator right now from a company like Boston Dynamics. So I'm curious to see how Tesla is putting that to use. Beyond that, we always tend to get some other tidbit of information, maybe something about the Cybertruck. We learned a little bit more about that last year at the first AI Day. So we'll see on that in terms of any wildcard type of things. Speaking of the Cybertruck, Elon had a couple of updates on Twitter about it today as well, saying, quote, Cybertruck will be waterproof enough to serve briefly as a boat so it can cross rivers, lakes, and even seas that aren't too choppy, end quote. We've heard Elon talk about this possibility in the past, but product designs change as time goes by, so I guess good to see that reiterated if this is an important feature to you. Unfortunately, a little bit top of mind right now for many people down in Florida dealing with the hurricane. Hope everyone is staying safe. A little bit more on that later. But while we have heard Elon talk about this possibility before, I'm not sure he's been quite as specific as he is here today. He said it needs to be able to get from Starbase to South Padre Island, which requires crossing the channel. Having not been there, I'm not sure where exactly those crossing opportunities lie, but it looks like that channel is roughly 1,000 feet across, maybe a little bit more than that, probably about 0.2 miles. To put perhaps a little bit more understandable context around that, for a person swimming in water, that's probably a 5 to 7 minute swim, somewhere in that ballpark. So it's a decent amount of time, probably significantly less if you're in the vehicle, but probably a big enough length where the Cybertruck wouldn't be relying entirely on the momentum that it carried into the body of water. At any rate, I certainly look forward to the YouTube test videos of this use case. Next story, also speaking of the hurricane down in Florida, we've got a report here from Kelly Roofing that shows a solar roof as well as a couple of power walls that have survived the storm. They noted that the solar roof has survived 155 mile per hour winds, a 10-foot storm surge in this storm, and that the power walls that they had were underwater for hours and are still working perfectly. While again, it is unfortunate to have to learn about these things from situations like this, it's still extremely impressive to see Tesla's technology and how it fares through a storm like this, which probably goes without saying is extremely disruptive to the electrical infrastructure. It's exciting to see these self-contained power systems, even if they are still on grid, become, if not commonplace, more and more common by the day. Each one of them, kind of like each Tesla vehicle, just a nice little glimpse into the future. Next up, we've got a new report on brand loyalty covered here by Drive Tesla Canada, but the original study carried out by S&P. They studied brand loyalty among automotive customers, so how often buyers of one brand would return to that same brand for their next vehicle purchase. Who do we think was at the top? Big surprise here, Tesla. 67% brand loyalty rate according to their research. This was first place by a decent amount, Ford coming in second at 59.6. In the so-called luxury category where they placed Tesla, Mercedes-Benz was second place at just 50.5%. So great to see Tesla on top. I am actually a little bit surprised that that number isn't a little bit higher though. It's tough to imagine for me going to a different brand at this point. But I'm also not sure of the exact conditions of the study here. You know, if you're talking about a two-car household or something like that, and one becomes a Tesla and then the other one becomes something else again, I'm not sure if that would count against brand loyalty or not, but that would make it more difficult to achieve a higher percentage. So without that knowledge, tough to analyze that specific percentage rather than just the overall rankings too much. All right, next up, we've got a couple of important data points in the overall car market in the United States. This is a major factor in CPI, so it's a closely watched indicator for inflation, demand conditions in general. We know that supply over the last year has been tight, prices have skyrocketed, and we might be starting to see the peak or even maybe a sharp decline, especially with interest rates rapidly on the rise. So the couple of data points we got here are number one from Cox Automotive. They are saying that based on their most recent data, they're lowering their full year automotive forecast here for the United States from 14.4 million vehicles down to 13.7. So about a 5% decline from their previous forecast. One of their senior economists said that, quote, "The supply shortage has likely created some pent-up demand, folks who were essentially waiting in line for inventory to return, but the recent change in the economic outlook from rising interest rates is beginning to chip away at demand, and the waiting line for new vehicles is likely getting much shorter," end quote. Unfortunately, the language they're using there is couched a little bit in probability rather than giving us a hard figure. They do note that days of supply of inventory has been holding steady across the car market, but it sounds like they're starting to see some signs of demand shrinking, which generally might not be seen as the best news for business, but in this case, when we're so worried about inflation, you want to see supply and demand balance out so the prices get under control. The other really interesting data point here on the car market, this time in the used car market, is a report from CarMax. They reported their quarterly earnings, sales down 6.4% for used vehicle retail sales. That's a huge drop that could be indicative of declining demand in the used car market, and CarMax's stock today was down 25% following this report. That, by the way, may have been a contributing factor to the relative weakness that we saw from Tesla today. Not that that would be justified by any means, but in general terms, declining demand for the automotive market would be not great for automotive stocks. I think Tesla very clearly an outlier in that case, though. Anyway, CarMax attributed that decline to an uncertain economic environment that was starting to take a toll on vehicle demand. Their CEO added, quote, "Obviously, consumers are having to make decisions. I just think they are prioritizing their spend a little differently," end quote. So some interesting data here. I think one of the things that people rightfully get concerned about with the CPI reports is that those can tend to lag demand destruction like this because prices might not immediately react to changes in demand. That demand might need to disappear first before the marketplace starts to react, and then that might even lag further behind in the CPI report since that's published, you know, a couple weeks after those numbers come in. Not that those are the only problems with the CPI report by any means, but just some insight into one of the reasons it's maybe not the be-all, end-all measure of what's going on with inflation. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that, and I think when we do get the CPI report, we'll definitely look at how the car market is developing specifically in that bucket. This might be an indicator that we see some sharp changes in that area. All right, last couple of things here. First, a couple of updates on Twitter. The New York Post is reporting that although Elon Musk's deposition has been technically rescheduled for October 6th and October 7th, they have a source that is telling them that that is not necessarily a final date. There are ongoing conversations or negotiations about when exactly that is going to happen. So we'll keep an eye on that date, and when or whether that deposition happens will influence perception about the possibility of a settlement. That can have influence on, obviously, what's happening with Tesla stock as well. Also on Twitter, a few more text messages that have been published in result of this case. First, Elon Musk and Jack Dorsey going back and forth. These are from March and kind of talk about Dorsey's decision to leave Twitter, the board being really risk averse, how Dorsey felt like there should be a platform that's decentralized. And at one point, Elon made the comment that, quote, "I think it's worth both trying to move Twitter in a better direction and doing something new that's decentralized," end quote. Nothing shocking in there, just interesting to see their back and forth. And then there were also texts between Elon and Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal. These are on April 9th, when apparently Elon made the decision to no longer join the board and instead make the buyout offer. Parag had texted, "You are free to tweet, is Twitter dying? Or anything else about Twitter, but it's my responsibility to tell you that it's not helping me make Twitter better in the current context. Next time we speak, I'd like you to provide your perspective on the level of internal distraction right now and how it's hurting our ability to do work. I hope the AMA will help people get to know you, to understand why you believe in Twitter, and to trust you. And I'd like the company to get to a place where we are more resilient and don't get distracted, but we aren't there right now." Elon replied, "What did you get done this week? I'm not joining the board. This is a waste of time. We'll make an offer to take Twitter private." So if nothing else, an interesting look in there. I know everyone will have kind of different opinions on that, but certainly can't fault Elon for indecision. Last news item, then a couple other things. Porsche did IPO today already. Seems like we were just talking about that being a possibility. They IPO'd at about $72 billion, kind of a volatile day of trading, and then the stock closed flat. So we'll probably talk a little bit more about that in a future episode. And then the last couple of notes here I meant to mention earlier, but I was fortunate enough to receive an AI Day invitation, so I am going to be attending. I'm not sure exactly what that means for the content schedule for tomorrow, but I'll try to post any updates on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and if there's anything interesting beforehand, I'll try to share as much as I can. And then finally, just another thought on the delivery expectations that we walked through yesterday. There might be a little bit of an impact there from the hurricane in Florida. Tesla's ability to deliver vehicles in that region obviously could be impacted. So that could contribute to what I expect to be a relatively large spread between production and delivery. So keep that in mind as well. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, as I mentioned. And we'll see you at some point tomorrow for something, I'm sure. But otherwise, enjoy AI Day. I can't wait to see what Tesla has in store for us. After all that, we'll be back this weekend, probably on Sunday, for the delivery report reaction. Thank you.